Lawmakers in Hartford are debating a new tax on food delivery services. And let's face it, especially since the pandemic, this is one of the industries that really boomed, like DoorDash and Grubhub, and really was very helpful to a lot of our local restaurants, not chain restaurants, because we don't honestly have a lot of those. And many of them were not equipped to do delivery services. Many of them could do curbside, no question. But to deliver, that's where these delivery services really came into play and really helped the restaurant out a lot. And again, the collected taxes from this bill, if it were to pass, would reportedly go directly to the Special Transportation Fund, which we need money for our transportation. However, there's always two sides to every story. And for that part, we are talking to Scott Dulch of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, because Scott, while it all sounds like it could be a good thing in the long run, maybe we're missing parts of the story here. So that's where you come in. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
As always, Melissa, thank you for having me on.
So let's talk about this tax. It sounds like there is a concern around if this were to pass. It would go into effect, it sounds like, August 1st if it gets the green light.
Yeah, I think for the listeners to understand, this is a tax on consumers. And this, you know, obviously the food side of it, you know, it isn't just Uber Eats, DoorDash. It is also a local little pizzeria that has a driver that drives your pizza over. It's every delivery. It's also Amazon. It's furniture coming to your house. It's any delivery that is being, you know, obviously the world that we live in now, but, you know, targeting the consumers to fund, you know, the Special Transportation Fund, to your point. Obviously, we need funding there, but, you know, we understand, though, too, I don't think our industry should be one that should be targeted in this. We're not alone when we've seen this try to go forward in other states. Obviously, Colorado and Minnesota, the only two states that have passed it, and in the last year, they both passed a similar bill. I will tell you that there is two bills that are going to try to repeal it because the consumers are irate and upset. And then also in Maryland last year, they tried to do the same thing. The Washington Post did a survey to consumers and said, you know, would you want this? And 61% were opposed. So, you know, as I try to talk to legislators and say, hey, I understand that you're looking to try to maybe need resources and things of that, but looking at our industry and targeting our consumers, making prices go up even more out of our control, is only going to hurt the small businesses that you're trying to help, is going to hurt the consumers that are really trying to, you know, get food, because delivery and to go, like you mentioned in your opening, you know, it's become commonplace. You know, since COVID, it's now about 25 to 30% of business takeout and to go, where pre-COVID it was about 8 to 10%. So that's obviously why right now we're in opposition to this bill, and you know, we opposed it in the public hearing, and we'll see what happens with the Transportation Committee as it comes out.
There's kind of a chain reaction, if you will, Scott, if I'm understanding this correctly, right? So let's say, okay, we tax the delivery services, fine. But then they have to make up that income as well. So now are they charging more to the restaurant or the company that is using their services?
Well, I think they would just add that fee on to the consumer. So the customers will just pay more. And I think that's where, you know, us as restaurants are upset, because we're like, you know, the last thing that we want to do is, we know that there's fees, there's challenges to get, you know, the convenience of getting delivery, but then to have the state step in and also add taxes on top of that. You know, if you're looking at it, someone might say, hey, listen, and, you know, I don't want to have to pay that much for delivery. I'm just not going to get the food. And people
right.
can say, oh, it's 28 cents. Scott, you know, it's not that much. And that comment in the building always bothers me, because if you look at the bill as well, it has an index on it. So it will be increased every year. We could be at 50 cents, 75 cents a dollar, you know, in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. And I think that's where my frustration is like, you know, everything that they do, they're like, we'll just put it in. It's small, but then it could increase as well. And we're seeing that the general public around the country is really pushing back on this. And I don't want to be an outlier. In New England, there's not a state in New England that is looking to push this through. Like anything, I always want to be smart about decisions we make that affect the small businesses in our state, and not try to do something that could harm the businesses, the consumers. You know, and they asked me as well, Melissa, they asked, well, are you okay maybe not taxing the small pizza places, but, you know, just taxing the third-party delivery companies, the Uber Eats, the DoorDashes? And I push back, because understand there's a lot of little local restaurants that prior to the pandemic never used these companies. And now they do. And there's the younger generation, you know, my 15-year-old son or others that are on these apps.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to market to these small companies, these small restaurants that maybe never even knew. They're like, oh, I can get, you know, a chicken parm dinner. I can go pick that up or get it delivered to me. Oh, I can go get that from that little restaurant in my town, you know, because they can't afford the delivery service. So that's also why let's not try to target these companies that, in my opinion, are helping our business in many ways.
Scott Dolch is here from the Connecticut Restaurant Association, and we are talking about a proposed bill that would, if it goes into effect in October, if it gets the thumbs up, I should say, if it gets approval, it would mean taxing delivery services. And the thing that I worry about, Scott, which it sounds like you worry about as well, is the trickle-down effect for our local restaurants. And I always love to reiterate this, so I'm sure it feels like a broken record for you, Scott, but I think it's very important to share. The percentage of our restaurants and bars in Connecticut are locally owned. What is that percentage again?
97% of full-service restaurants in Boom. Connecticut are independently owned.
Okay. Why do I bring that up? Well, because the other thing that I love for you to reiterate on this show is the fact that we're still in this place of, for a lot of our restaurants and eateries and breweries, an uphill battle. I mean, the pandemic rocked the hospitality industry, and so many restaurants are still trying to figure out how to survive. And I don't know if people realize that. Is that still the case in 2025?
It is, Melissa. Obviously, we are well past the pandemic, but from a business side and kind of the one industry sector of our industry that is still hasn't fully recovered is that full service independent restaurant, to the point where, you know, you saw QSRs, quick service restaurants, fast casual restaurants, others have kind of figured it out and got back. But the rising cost, even in recent years outside of the virus, just the rising costs have gone up anywhere between 28% and 32% across the board. That's whether it's labor. I mean, we can all talk about utilities. You can talk about rent. You can talk about insurance. You can talk just about, you know, food is not a whole nother one. So adding another burden to the customers, because this would obviously not go to the owners, but go to the customers, just continues to increase what a restaurant has to do to stay afloat is charge their customers what they can to at least be profitable. And we've talked about this, Melissa, and for your listeners to know, the average restaurant profitability is 3% to 5%. That's it. You know, a $2 million restaurant, let's say they're on the high side, they're at 5%. It's only $100,000 a year that they could be taking home. It's not a luxurious business by any sense. They love it. They work 60, 70 hours a week, but every little bit is going to hit. And I guess the other comment that I made to the Transportation Committee of where I'm frustrated of this bill coming towards us is, if you know, and everyone listeners know, there's a 1% meals and beverage tax, which we're trying to get tourism dollars for, but it's 1% has been added to everyone's bill, 7.35 for the last 5 years. It's generated over $400 million to the general fund. Hasn't gone to special transportation, hasn't gone to tourism, hasn't gone to hospitality in any way, workforce development, hasn't gone back to town. So I also am always skittish when they're like, let's add another tax. It'll help this. Well, will it? And again, we're already being taxed enough. We're always being targeted. And I always try to tell legislators, it's hard enough to run a restaurant. Let's not try to make this even more difficult. You know, and you just see us as, oh, well, why don't we just add a delivery tax? That would be, yeah, that's easy. Well, understand the repercussions, which we just talked about. And I hope that they don't do this. I urge the legislators that are listening that this is not the time to do this year. And hopefully they listen. And we can go back to the drawing board, you know, continue to find ways. But to fund certain things, but I don't think our industry should be the one to help fund the special transportation fund.
What have they said, Scott, only because you brought it up? What's the latest on the, you know, taking that 1%, taking that money out of the general fund? You laugh. I don't like that sign, Scott Dolch. What's the latest on that?
It's not a laugh. I think I'm obviously a little frustrated over the last 5 years of what that money has generated.
Yeah, and I think that's crazy.
It did $107 million, just the 1% in fiscal year 24. You know, $107 million went into the general fund, and they're cutting the tourism budget from $12 million. Now it's at $7.5 million, and Anthony's budget will go down to $4.5 million on July 1st. So I'm optimistic. I'm always the optimistic one, as you know, Melissa, but at the same time, you know, people need to understand that we need to invest. If you invest a dollar into tourism in our state, it has an $8 return. Why would you hurt the one sector that you could invest in as a state and get money back and help? You know, you've been with me, whether it's, you know, pizza is the, you know, foodie is the capital of the U.S. You have, you know, foodie capital of New England. We've got New York Times chefs and meals. You've got James Beard winners on the culinary side, besides the hotels, the aquariums, the beaches. There's so much. And I think I'm hoping that they tell me it's a budget year. I have to go testify today on another bill. There's about four or five bills out there with this 1%, which makes me feel better than years past. But again, until June 4th, and I see a finalized budget that starts to support the tourism funding marketing office, I'm going to work tirelessly, because my restaurants, caterers, private event venues, we don't directly benefit from that, but we secondarily do, because, you know, the more people that come to visit Connecticut or come to live and work, the more that they're going to, you know, dine out, they're going to stay at hotels, they're going to, and then they might say, hey, you know what, like we talked about before, like with your husband, I might, you know, want to live here.
Exactly.
I might want to work and live. So I'm hopeful. But, you know, obviously it's a lot of work up there in that building. But at the same time, my whole job every day is to continue to show the face of the industry and say, hey, like, we have an incredible culinary and restaurant industry in our state. But let's not do things that could potentially in the short term and long term harm what we have.
Yeah, I so appreciate what you are doing up in Hartford and advocating for all of our eateries and for this industry in particular in Connecticut. I mean, that's why you're the guy. Connecticut Restaurant Association, Scott Dulch. I really appreciate always having these chats with you and for you breaking down the other side of this. Because, again, I think on the surface, maybe people feel like no big deal. And maybe there is the mentality of, oh, OK, it's 28 cents. What's the big deal? Well, in the long scheme of things, you got to really look at the detail. The devil's in the details, as I always say. So, Scott Dulch, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Melissa, as always. We'll talk soon.